I must say, you sound slightly fatigued. Overdosed on cauliflower corn.
You can never overdose on cauliflower
corn. He's a So, devotees, thank you for coming. We are, of course, continuing our seminar, our just overall festival program theme of loving relationships amongst devotees and all sort of related factors. So we are going to start this afternoon by singing a song, as you can see there it is on the screen. Prayer to the Vaishnavas, otherwise known as Vaishnava Mahima. This is a song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. It is from Prarthana. Prarthana is a collection of songs of Narottam Das Thakur. Prarthana means prayers. So we're going to sing the song. However, before we start singing, let's just run through it and see what we're going to be singing, because I imagine there's a number of you, it might even be all, I don't know, but definitely some number who've never seen this song before. So, and it's always good to know what you're singing. Otherwise, the tendency is you sort of flap your mouth around and sing it, but you don't know what it is, and it's all a bit sort of, you know. Of course, it's transcendental, but it's kind of like transcendentally meaningless. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's something like that. So let's go through. There you see, first verse, and I'll read the translation, but you can see it there, of course. Oh, brother or sister, sisters are permitted also, although somehow I think, anyway, for whatever reason, I won't put words in there, and just type as well, but he just mentions by, shuna, shuna by, shuna means listen, and by means brothers. Oh, brothers and sisters, please hear my words with rapt attention. The lotus feet of the Vaishnavas are the most valuable treasure of this world. These Vaishnavas continually take shelter of Lord Krishna and worship him. They never abandon their Lord. They are liberated. They are free from the cycle of birth and death. Okay, now here's verse 2. Let's just get that. Here's verse 3. The water that has washed the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas bestows devotional service and pure love of God. Nothing else is as effective for attaining this divine love. I place dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas upon my head. I wear no other ornament. And verse 3. The purifying power of the waters at various holy places of pilgrimage is described in the Puranas, although this is something of a deceptive trick. Actually, there is not anything as purifying as the water that has washed the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. This water fulfills all desires. And finally, verse 4. Moment after moment, my mind finds pleasure in the association of the Vaishnavas. I always seek out the company of those who are devoted to Lord Krishna. Poor-hearted Narottam Das breaks down and cries, "How has this fallen condition come upon me?" So I thought that was a nice song to kind of reflect the theme of our festival. So let's sing it. We are going to sing it according to the tune of Sri Guru Charanapadma, to keep it simple. You know, it could also be sung according to the tune of Sri Rupa Manjari Padma. It's slightly more complicated. Let's just do it according to Sri Guru Charanapadma. Okay, here we go. Takura Vaishnava Pada Apani Raso Samhada.
Thank you.
It's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON's founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let's go to Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Gaurisa Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shankun Radhakun Girigoda Dam Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dam Ki Jai. Sri Mayapur Dam Ki Jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dam Ki Jai. Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Sri Girigoda Dam Ki Jai. Sri Nrsingadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Gaura Premanande. All glories to this Amadavati, turn off the projector and just move that whole thing out. Because I won't be showing you anything else. Okay, devotees. Please sit down, relax, and let us launch into the next phase of our seminar, of our the theme of our whole festival, which is the loving exchanges between the devotees and already, of course, you're all here. Dayananda Maharaj, first of all, gave very nice introduction this morning. It was really nice, I thought. And then Jnananda Maharaj, as always, gave just a super duper wonderful development of the subject matter. It was just fantastic. And that slideshow. Sometimes they talk about death by PowerPoint. Get these dull PowerPoint presentations. But that was just very dynamic and full of life, because Maharaj is like that. And that's why it was. Yeah, really nice. And he touched on certain points. He was talking more about the, you know, what would you say, not justification, but just clarification of the value of devotee association, and so many quotes from Srila Prabhupada from here and there, and some from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and so on, and just why, it was kind of, it struck me more like that, why devotee association. Would that be right, Maharaj? Anyway, in certain or many respects, it was why, the reasoning behind it. It's really, it's such an important thing, such an important part of Krishna consciousness. And now that we've gone into why, in great detail and very vividly with all sorts of authoritative quotations, let's look a little bit more now at how. In the broad sense, what we're talking about is devotee association. In a more specific sense, you could say it's sort of like a particular aspect of it, the loving relationships. But anyway, we'll address both in the general sense, of devotee association, and then we'll also look at certain details in regards to the actual loving relationships. First of all, let me just start by offering a couple of prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyutya Deshitane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Much gopta rubhya stakripa sindhu vyevacha. Padidana bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. You know, my mood, or I don't know, the way I do things is a little different from Dayananda Maharaj and Jananda Maharaj. Jananda Maharaj, it was just so, a certain amount was really funny. It was really funny. Humor. Yeah. My mood is somewhat different. I'm a bit drier. It depends, you know. Anyway, so what we're going to do, well, actually, just the first thing, the very first thing, talking about association in the broadest sense possible, when we chant Hare Krishna, we are associating with Krishna. When we take prasadam, cauliflower pakoras, we are associating with Krishna in the form of cauliflower pakora. It's a fact. It's a fact. And if you get too much of that sort of association, it can make other types of association more difficult. You follow? So I think what we'll do right now, and every now and then we may stop and just redo it.
Have another cauliflower
for Cora.
Right.
See.
Cut me on top.
Okay. See, we're going to offer prayers that next Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma will be eating prasada. That's going to really make it interesting. But what we're going to actually do right now, we will do a little Vaishnava exercise just to get us out, if any of us are in or under the influence of the cauliflower pakoras too much and feeling, you know, too much of that sort of ecstasy. We're going to do a little exercise. Everyone put your hands in the air. Everyone take a deep breath. And everyone say after me, very loudly, but after me. But very loudly too. But after me. Hare Krishna! Listen, hang on. I said loudly. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Okay. Not too bad. Could have been worse. Now, the particular sort of approach that we're going to take here is we're going to look at the subject in general of association, but also particularly in the sense of loving relationships, from the perspective, first of all, of getting and then giving, but first of all getting and giving good association. Okay. Then we're going to have another session tomorrow morning at some point. And tomorrow, probably, we'll just see how it goes today. But I'm assuming that tomorrow we will look at getting and giving bad association. Hurry, Paul. Yeah? Yes. So that's what we're going to do. And of course, you know, getting, giving, they tend to get sort of mixed with each other. Because, yeah, they tend to mix with each other, at least in certain cases and situations in the discussion. So that's fine. But first of all, the idea is, first of all, just to have a little look at getting. Because, after all, you cannot give what you have not got. So therefore, getting comes before giving. Yeah. So let's look a little bit, first of all, at getting good association. I want to start by just mentioning, well, I'll just read two verses, one at least one of which Maharaj showed in the slideshow, and the other one he definitely referred, oh no, it was, I think it was actually Dayananda Maharaj referred to this morning, and just say a couple of words about these. So first of all, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila 22.83, which we saw this morning. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Haya Sadhu Sangha Krishna Prema Janme Teho Puna Mukhya Anga. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. And then very famous verse which Maharaj referred to this morning, the early morning class, Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. And I just want to note one little thing. I didn't get a chance, I wanted to sort of insert it in Maharaj's class or maybe at the end sometime, but I just didn't get the opportunity. This idea of lava matra, lava meaning a fraction of a second, shall we say a 16th or an 11th, or doesn't make a big difference, an 11th or a 16th of a second, it's not very long. But just by lava matra sadhu sangha, by that very brief association with a real sadhu, through that one can attain all success. I read, it's quite some time ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was trying to find the actual quotation just after lunch, but I couldn't find it. But I read a good number of years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this point. What does it mean, lava matra? 1/11th or 16th or just, you know, a fraction of a second of association. How could it be? How could it be that such just a little flash, just like that and it's gone, of association could have such an effect that you can perfect your life in Krishna consciousness? Because after all, in a fraction of a second, nobody can give some meaningful instruction. Now, you can't even say Hare Krishna to a person in a sort of understandable way in 1/11th or 1/16th of a second. Try it. You'd have to be so fast. Hare Krishna! I know what that was. Hare Krishna! You know, what is it? It's not for real, really, in terms of imparting. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very interesting point that there is an emanation coming from the heart of such a devotee. Just constantly, there's emanations of spiritual Shakti. Yeah. And if you just contact that Shakti, you may not know, you may not even see the devotee. But if you just happen to be in their presence and the emanation is emanating around and you just get into that emanation, that it can have that effect. It's interesting. Interesting little point. And Maharaj this morning also referred to a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but it appears, would you believe, this verse appears twice. Oh, here it is. Twice, as is, twice in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is very significant. Yeah, that it appears twice, not just once but twice, but verbatim twice. You know, there's the significance of twice. We can get an idea from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura's commentary on the story of, what was his name? In the 10th canto, the one demon. He wanted Krishna to give him the symbols of Vishnu.
Pondraka.
Pondraka, thank you. Pondraka. And Shukadev Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit that there was one demon named Pondraka, and he was such a crazy demon that he wanted to assume the position of Krishna, something to that effect. You could look it up. Then, several verses later, Shukadev Goswami repeats this. There was this crazy demon named Pondraka, and he wanted to take the position of Krishna. Not exactly verbatim, but basically the same idea. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, this is very important. He says, listen to this, in such a short literature, such a small literature as Srimad Bhagavatam, it's so small, it's so compact, you know, it's like a zip, super zip file of transcendence. It's so succinct and to the point and even abbreviated. If something is repeated, it means it's of extreme importance. You can read it if you can find the commentary there, which is available. Yeah. So here, this verse is repeated verbatim, would you believe? It's 1:18:13 and 4:8:34. 1:18:13 and 4:8:34. They are just identical. Tuliyama lavenapi, lava, again, lava. Tuliyama lavenapi, naswargam napunarbhavam, bhagavat sangi sangasya, martyanam kimutashisha. The value of a moment's association, lava is the term. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. So the same verse is just repeated as is. Yeah. And that's very important. It's very important. Okay, so now that was a little bit sort of maybe in general, and maybe I'll add something too in general, which one of the Maharajas, I forget which one, I think it must have been Jananda Maharaj, referred to the you could say the prayers, but at least the statements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the 9th canto, chapter 4, right? Devasa Muni curses Maharaj Ambarish. So from it's 9:4, from I think it's verse 63 through to 68, 69, something like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expresses his appreciation of the devotees. And Maharaj quoted one verse. Let me quote one verse from there, because they're just some most wonderful and amazing verses. Let me just look it up to get it right. Oops, 9:4, let's read 9:4:68. Sadavo Lidayam Maya. Sadunam ridayam tvaham, madanyate najananti, naham tebyo managapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else by them. My point in referring to this here now is that if the association of devotees is so important to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how important should it be to us? My gosh, you cannot place a value. It's beyond our capacity. And there's one interesting little exchange there in the course of those verses from 63 onwards. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur again gives a very interesting comment, I think very important and wonderful comment. Devasa Muni, who is being pursued by the Sudarshan Chakra and his life's in great danger, and the Sudarshan Chakra is the weapon of the Lord, and he is appealing to the Lord for help. He says to the Lord that you are famous for being very kind and giving shelter to the distressed. And I am distressed. I'm very distressed. He says, actually, you are famous for having a very kind and soft heart. And with your soft heart, you feel so much for the distressed. And I'm distressed. So please help me. And according to Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord replies basically to the effect that you're right. I have a very soft and merciful heart. And my soft and merciful heart is very much inclined to give mercy to the distressed. But there is a problem with my heart. There is a problem. The problem is, I do not have my heart any longer. I've lost my heart. I gave it to the devotees. So if you want some mercy from my soft and merciful heart, you must go to the devotee. In this case, it was Maharaj Ambarish. Yeah, so devotees are really special. So special. I remember being in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I don't know if Jananda Maharaj was there right at that time, but maybe he was. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a class. And Srila Prabhupada was talking about this type of subject and how important devotees are. And Prabhupada said, you do not know who you may be sitting next to right now. And Prabhupada said, you may be sitting next to Narada Muni. And all the devotees looked around.
Not him. Definitely not him.
No. Maybe you. That's the next best. That's the next best for us. So, yeah. Now, of course, we shouldn't be whimsical and too imaginative about it. But, devotee association is extremely important. So now, getting. I want now to read, let's see what now, to read a verse from Nectar of Instruction. Now we're going to focus a little more on getting. Getting, yeah. Let's see, this is now Nectar of Instruction. Verse 5. Krishneti yasya giri tam manasadriye ta dikshasti chet pranatibis chabajantam isham sushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindadi shunya ridam ipsita sangalabdhya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Just that last point is very interesting in and of itself. He's talking about the very advanced devotees, of course, like the Uttama Adhikari devotees, that sort of devotee. And, he could have mentioned many things. They're like this, they're like that. And even, if you read the 11th canto, is it chapter 5, if I remember correctly? Their discussions about the Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama Adhikaris, one verse each about the Kanishtas and Madhyams, but something like 10 verses about the Uttama Adhikari, the very high level, highest level, devotee with all sorts of characteristics and qualities, and he is like this and that and so on and so forth. And it's just, quite a bit of detail, and it's really nice. It's interesting here, Srila Rupa Goswami, he is now glorifying. He doesn't just say, you should associate with and faithfully serve the most advanced devotee. He just adds a bit of qualification to his mentioning of the most advanced devotee. One particular quality: completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. In other words, and you know, this is just a sort of a general point anyway, in Krishna consciousness, that criticism of devotees is just like about the most major no-no. Yeah. It's just about the most dangerous thing you can do, criticize devotees. Anyway, that's sort of by the way. But so here we have associating with three levels of devotees and associating differently with each of those three levels. Now, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, in fact, Narada Muni talks about how to associate with three levels of devotees. Three levels, not Kanishta Madhyam Uttama, but three levels in relation to you. In relation to you, you are sort of the yardstick by which these three levels will be specified. One level is those who are more senior. Another level is those who are more or less on the same level. And another level in relation to you is those who are junior to you. So it's all just in relation to you. It's not like sort of more absolute standards of Kanishta Madhyam and Uttama. And this is very relevant because I think all of us find there are devotees like this in relation to us. Maybe you are the newest devotee here today, and maybe there's no one junior to you. Possibly. But don't worry, shortly there will be, because people are coming in, you know, and taking up Krishna consciousness. So today's most junior devotee, in a little while, is going to be more senior than some, in terms relative to their own position. So now we're talking about getting and giving. Association in terms of these three levels of devotees in relation to you. So devotees who are senior to you, first of all, let's just talk in very simple terms. Devotees who are senior to you, they're basically, again in simple terms, two main ways of interacting with, associating with, devotees who are more senior than you. This is very simple. I'm sure you all know the answer. Can one of the gentlemen tell us one of those two ways of associating, Prabhu?
Inquiring from
them. Okay, thank you. Just see. One of our most senior, if not most senior. Yeah, we should inquire from them. And ladies, please tell us the other way of associating. Sorry? Service. Thank you. Oh, that was Mataji. Thank you. Very good. Yeah. I mean, this is in keeping with 434 classic verse about the spiritual master. I imagine you all know 434. Tadvidi pranipatayana pariprasnena sevaya upavekshaditayanam jnaninastapadashana. That if you want to learn the truth, you should approach a spiritual master. Yeah. And you should inquire and render service. And the self-realized souls can impart knowledge to you because they've seen the truth. So, pariprashnena means by inquiry, sevaya, by service. So this is how we should associate with devotees who are more senior than us in very simple terms. We're just sort of starting the discussion. Those who are on an equal level, roughly, to you, then you should befriend them in Krishna consciousness. First of all, what does it mean, equal level? What does it mean? You know, of course, what you could try to do, and I think some do try, not very successfully, you could psychoanalyze the devotee and see what sort of level of Krishna consciousness he's on, because then you've got to psychoanalyze yourself too. But we, you know, in simple terms, we don't really recommend doing like that. In very simple terms, how could you ascertain if someone is roughly more or less on the same level as you in Krishna consciousness? It's just a very simple rule of thumb. How long have they been devotee? You could also say, how long have they been initiated compared to you? It's another way of looking at it. But at least how long they've been in Krishna consciousness compared to you. Just very simple. Very simple. And then with such a person, you should befriend them. What does it mean to befriend them? Does it mean that you hang out together? Harry Ball, how's life? Something like that. No, we're talking here about Krishna conscious association. So, you know, I would make a suggestion. Here's a suggestion for you. Next time you all have prasadam, sit down to someone with someone who is, you know, approximately on the same level as you, and start a Krishna conscious discussion. What do you think? What have you been reading from Srila Prabhupada's books recently? What realizations have you been having? You know, I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's or somebody's, and they said this and that, and, you know, actually start a Krishna conscious discussion. Maybe you already do this. Yeah, maybe you do. And if you do, well done. But maybe you just sort of are more prone to just Hari Bol, how you're doing, and how's work, how's the family? Which is, you know, is not too bad, but Prabhupada once, a reporter asked Prabhupada, how are you? Prabhupada said, what does it matter to you how I am? Prabhupada said, if I was, you know, very bad or very good, what difference would it make to you? Why are you asking me how I am? You know, to inquire from devotees how they are, it may also be okay in one sense. But, you know, when it's just a part of just typical social banter, just little, almost meaningless chit-chat. So why don't you try that? What do you think? I'll just leave it with you. You can try it. And try and cultivate that. Because then you can start developing deeper, friendly relationships with your peers in Krishna consciousness. And if you develop a rapport like that of having exchanges in Krishna consciousness and sharing in Krishna consciousness, it can really be very, very valuable. And you can develop a real Krishna conscious friendship. Yeah. Then what about the juniors, those who are junior to you? Well, if someone's junior to you, you wouldn't so much think about getting their association. like you'd think about getting the association of seniors, hearing from them. You inquire, they instruct, then you're getting. Getting doesn't apply, I mean, getting can apply with equals, but getting doesn't so much apply with juniors. Rather, you have to give, generally, to juniors. And giving good association, giving to good association to juniors, it basically means you try and help them in Krishna consciousness. You know, when I joined, well, you know what happened? It's, Maharaj has gone out, but he would remember this particular devotee. I think he was before your time. Did you know Dhiranayaka? No, he had disappeared by that time. When I walked into the temple in Berry Place for the first time in this lifetime, my first visit to a temple, I walked in and I had this burning desire. I wanted a spiritual master. That's why I was there. I wanted a spiritual master. So I walked through the door in Berry Place. There was this devotee, Dhiranayaka. Did you know him? No. There's this devotee, Dhiranayaka. And I walked up to him and I asked him, are you a spiritual master? He was just a new little brahmachari, actually, although he was initiated. So I guess he didn't expect that question. And he just looked at me and he gave me like a sort of, you know, like a, you know, who are you type of look. And he said, you look really spaced out. That's what he said to me. I'll tell you, that was what he said to me. But I was so determined I must find a spiritual master, and the Hare Krishna temple is where I'm going to find a spiritual master. I just sort of didn't bother, didn't register too much. And then he went off. And who came down the stairs but, many of you would know, Subhag Maharaj, a brahmachari at the time, but the same wonderful transcendental personality. And you know what I asked him? I asked him, are you a spiritual master? And he sort of, in his quiet, very pleasant way, he laughed a little and said, no, no. But he took me into the temple, showed me Radha Vandaneshwara, and we had a very nice little exchange. So, but then, not long after, you know, I'd say within a week, I had concluded, I want to try this out. I want to see what it's like to live like this. So I came to stay as a guest. I was woken up at 4 a.m, perhaps for the first time in this lifetime. And it was like, wow, what's going on here? Went up to the shower room. And there was a queue for the shower. So I got in the queue and eventually, and there was someone keeping time. And I got into the shower, there was only one tap. It was January, this January the 8th it was, 1973. So I turned on the tap. You take a wild guess what tap it was. It wasn't the hot one. It was January, it was really quite cold. And I'm looking, where's the hot tap? I stuck my head out, where's the hot tap? And everybody said, Prabhupada said we must take a cold bath. And you've only got 10 seconds left. Anyway, numerous things happened, which were not in keeping with, you know, what I'm suggesting to look after and help and sort of give some shelter and encouragement and support. They were actually the polaric opposites. like we sat down for breakfast, my first breakfast in a Hare Krishna temple, and somebody was serving this and that and chickpeas. And the devotee counted out 9 chickpeas. And I asked, can I have some more, please? And devotee looked at me like, who on earth do you think you are? I said, Prabhu. Prabhupada said, no more than 9 chickpeas. Oops, sorry, I asked. Anyway, there were many things. There were many. It was almost like, I think, a conscious strategy. Test the people. We don't want any weak-hearted ones. You know, yeah. We want the tough guys.
Make or break.
Something like that, yeah. Sometimes, at least. There was one mirror. It was that size. For putting on tilak. And above it was a sign. If the mirror was that size, the sign was like this size. Mirror is Maya. But what we're advocating here, in terms of giving good association to juniors, is something really different. Really different. Being supportive, being encouraging. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, if you wanted to put it in these terms, you could say the rasa is parental. Whereas with the equals, it's kind of fraternal. Brother, brother, sister, sister, that sort of thing. And with the seniors, we should see them as sort of something like parental. But when we're dealing with juniors, it should be like that, parental. Feeling, giving nourishment, giving support, encouragement. If we must correct, if there appears to be a need to correct, doing it in not a negative way. Like, just one little example, with a very new person. Even myself, when I first got into it, I was struggling to chant japa. First time I chanted japa, someone just put beads in my hand, said, yeah, we chant 16 rounds, goodbye. And that was it. Yeah, just chant. Oh, okay. 16 rounds, okay. After half an hour, I chanted 2 rounds, and my mind was multitasking. My mind was just everywhere. And I was thinking, I'll be frank, I was thinking, I don't know if this is really for me, actually, because it's so difficult. Anyway, for various reasons, I persevered. But, you know, if you've got a cup which is half full, it's also half empty. It's a simple thing. You could say it's half full, you could say it's half empty. Half empty is kind of negative. Half full is definitely more positive. So with juniors, in terms of giving, it's just a suggestion. Try to catch them doing something right. Not, you know, back in my initial experiences, my first morning, after that 10-second cold shower, I came out, and we didn't have clothes of our own. There was a box, a tea box. It's like this square and about this high, you know, a meter high. And you just dived and just found some things to wear. So I dived in, I found a dhoti, put it on sort of backwards come sideways, because no one was really showing me what to do. Then I had to find socks. So I looked around, okay, there's one red sock, looks nice. Where's its brother? couldn't find its brother. I found one blue sock, and I thought, I can't wear a red and a blue sock. Then I saw one devotee walking by with the brothers of those socks. And I said, could we swap? And he gave me the same sort of look like, who are you? I mean, come on, really, be serious. I said, Prabhu, don't be so attached. And if I was really determined, I have to give myself that, if nothing else. So I stuck through these things, despite thinking, what on earth did he, you know, why do they speak to me like this? But better to catch a devotee doing something, a very new devotee doing something right. Like, you ask him, how many rounds you done? He says, 8. Now you could always say, 8? Only 8? Come on. You know what Prabhupada said, you've got to do 16. Otherwise you're a Maya, Prabhu. or you could say, well done. Keep at it. My experience, having, for better or for worse, that's an interesting question, whether it's for better or for worse, but having been in a position of authority for practically the whole time I've been in ISKCON, and having had to deal with fault, something went wrong, someone did something wrong on so many occasions. And initially having this, it's kind of like a conditioned response. You did something wrong? Ah, you're nonsense. You don't do that? Come on, wake up. I've found, my experience is, on just so many occasions, devotees respond better to encouragement and positive input than negative. You know, if there's a need for some change of behavior, which sometimes there inevitably is, that change can be effected more effectively in a positive sense than a negative sense. Here we're talking, of course, particularly with juniors. It's very important, because juniors, usually they're very sensitive, and if somehow, you know, they get pushed the wrong way, they can easily be pushed out of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So, okay, these are some initial thoughts on getting and giving good association in regards to these three levels of devotees in relation to you, whatever your position is. Now, don't, very important thing, don't interact with one of these levels of devotees in ways which you should relate with some other level of devotee. Are you with me? In other words, don't take instructions from juniors. Generally, it's not a good idea for different reasons. Don't give instructions to seniors. Yeah. You know, famous story, I'm sure some of you have heard it before. Famous story. Srila Prabhupada. This is in regard to trying to instruct a senior. Mistake. Srila Prabhupada was in Amsterdam. It may have been 72, it may have been 73, it was something like that, for the installation of Radha Gopinath, who are now in Radha Desh. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. That's kind of by the way, but interesting. So, and Prabhupada was there, and the program's going on. I heard it was being televised live, and the devotees were messing everything up. And Prabhupada was just becoming progressively more unhappy, displeased. And finally, they're about to have the fire yajna, but there was no fruits around the yajna kund. And Prabhupada asked the president, who I forget who it was, anyway, whoever was the president, where's the fruit? Where is the fruit? And president went like, wow, fruit. Prabhupada wants the fruit. Into the kitchen. Prabhupada wants the fruit. And as I was told, I was not there, of course, but as I was told by one of the devotees who was there, the devotees thought Prabhupada wanted to eat some fruit. And often, usually when Prabhupada ate fruit, it had to be cut up. And often even salt and pepper he would have with his fruit. So they thought, ah, right. They cut up the quickest fruit salad of this Kali Yuga. Yeah. Within 2 minutes maximum, they cut up all the fruit and they had this big bowl of fruit salad. For Srila Prabhupada, the temple president, came out. Prabhupada, here's the fruit. And Prabhupada looked at it, because it's for a fire sacrifice. You follow. You put the full fruits around where you're going to have the sacrifice. Prabhupada looked at it. And they say, people like Hari Sori, Shruti Kirti, they say, when Prabhupada was angry, he might shout at you. But when he was really angry, he might not say anything. And Prabhupada said nothing. And he just looked aside. Like, you know, just sort of forget it. And he looked aside. And there was one young hippie standing next to Prabhupada's Vyasasan, chanting on beads. Long hair. Bit of a devotee, not too much. And he's watching all of this. And watching Prabhupada's reactions, and finally it comes to this point, and Prabhupada just sort of turned away in his direction, and the hippie standing right next to Prabhupada leant forward and said, Srila Prabhupada, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada looked at him. Who on earth? And Prabhupada picked up his beads and started chanting Hare Krishna. But this, in general, this sort of approach is not a good idea. Not a good idea. We take instruction from the seniors. We don't try to give instruction. So, you know, it's interesting. Narada Muni, in the Bhagavatam, when he discusses this point in slightly different terms, but it is this point, seniors equals juniors in relation to your own position. It's, what is it now? Where are we? Could it be? It's not 4834, is it, that we already... Oh yeah, 4834. I gave you the numbers of those two verses. What was the second one? 4834?
Yes.
Sorry, it was 4:30, 34. 1:18:13. 4:30:34. That's where that same one verse is repeated. Now this is now 4:8:34. It's a different verse. Narada Muni's instructing Dhruva Maharaj in this idea of seniors equals juniors. And it makes a very interesting point that in this way, if we live in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Did you catch that? The idea is, if you learn how to interact with those three levels of devotees in relation to you properly and consistently and really do it nicely, then Narada Muni says, in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. This is significant. This is just extremely significant. You know, the miseries of material existence, we know all about them by now. And they're not nice. And you know, how are we going to deal with these things? Well, we got to become Krishna conscious. Yeah, that's fine. But here's something very specific that we can actually overcome these difficulties just by learning how to associate with devotees. Or, in terms of our theme here, how to develop loving relationships. Because it's not just technical, that, oh yes, here's senior devotee, what to do? Okay, inquire. Right, here we go. Render some service. Oh yes, what shall I do for you? No, we're getting into the area of loving relationship, actually. Loving relationships with seniors, loving relationships with equals, and loving relationships with juniors. If you learn how to cultivate and do such relationships, it will have a very big effect on your life and your progress in Krishna consciousness, because so many of our feelings, how we're finding life, how life is, how our lives are going, so many of these feelings are connected with or coming from our relationships, actually. So many. You know, sometimes the weather's bad and you feel, I feel bad. Or something like that. But in many cases, the main parts of our feelings, how we're feeling about life, they are coming from, directly or indirectly, from how our relationships are going, actually. So therefore, if you can learn to do relationships nicely, then it will have a big effect, a really big effect, beneficially on our lives. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that he raised the question, what is Krishna consciousness? And he answered the question, Krishna consciousness means the development of a loving relationship with Krishna, disguised as a process. Think about that, it's very profound. Actually, what we're doing, we are in the business, so to speak, of developing loving relationships. And it's ultimately with Krishna. Yeah. So, but it's disguised as a process. You must do this. You must not do that. And, you know, so on and so forth. Don't commit offenses. Chant your rounds. Etc., etc. Process. Even Prabhupada referred to it as a process on many occasions. But it's not just a process. Actually, Krishna consciousness means development of relationship, ultimately with Krishna. And we are practicing on each other. Yes. Test run. Test run in relationships. It takes a while to get the knack, the hang of it. But that's what we're doing. This is Krishna consciousness. And just a very good way to start is, in, like we said, in regards to these three levels of devotees, and even just in simple terms. And somebody beat me to it. It must have been Jalananda Maharaj, who showed that verse. It's another verse from the Nectar of Instruction. It's actually verse 4. Dadati Prati Grinati. You know that verse? Mm-hmm. You showed it this morning, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Offering gift. There's six things. Offering gifts in charity. Accepting gifts. So there's giving and getting. Revealing your mind in confidence. Inquiring confidentially. Revealing your mind means revealing your mind. Inquiring confidentially may sound slightly confusing. It means more, you know, giving some advice, actually. Someone inquires, you know, what to do. I'm in this situation. And you can try and give a bit of input. Yeah. And then accepting prasad and offering prasad, well, you know, that we're pretty good at. These are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. I have another suggestion I would like you to do. You know, I already suggested that next time you take prasad, sit down with someone. I mean, it could be anyone. If it's someone senior, inquire from them about Krishna consciousness. If it's someone more or less on the same level as you, try and start a Krishna conscious discussion. What have you read? What have you heard? You know, I read this and something like that. And see if you can get it started. Someone junior, you know, of course you don't want to be overbearing and like bossy, but, you know, you can try and present a few things to help them. Here's another thing. Why don't you try? We got these six types of loving exchanges. Why don't you try to do this with devotees? When was the last time you gave a gift to another devotee? Anyway, you think about it. It may have been today, I don't know. But you think about it. See if you can give a gift. And if you receive a gift, see if you can really sort of reciprocate, express appreciation in an affectionate way. In revealing your mind, of course, you've got to be careful about that. You may have had experience of revealing your mind to someone. Some problem you have or some difficulty. And the next morning, some devotees start coming to you and say, "Oh, I didn't know you had that problem." Because you revealed your mind to the wrong person. But it really helps. I would go so far as to say, every devotee should have at least one other devotee who they can reveal their mind to, actually in confidence, about pretty much anything which is important. And that other devotee should have the maturity and spiritual capability to give some input. You know, even if they can't solve all the problems of life, but at least give some meaningful input. I feel every devotee needs that sort of relationship. That's more something you can think about. But here, see, how about trying to give a gift? How about trying to, and I don't mean just when you're serving prasadam, to serve prasadam, but to give someone some prasadam as a gesture. What do you think? Why don't you try and do these things while we're here? Even if it's a little mechanical. Mechanical chanting is better than no chanting at all. Yeah. I actually read just a little while ago, well, actually some months ago, I read one devotee had approached Prabhupada and asked about the mood. What mood should we be in? And is this mood better or that mood? Something along those lines. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, at least do it. At least do the service. Then even if your mood isn't so wonderful, you'll become purified. So at least do it. Some devotees say, well, I will chant more when I feel like it. But you'll only really chant more when you make the effort. You'll only feel like it when you make the effort more. So yeah, these are some thoughts there on loving exchanges. Try and do it, at least in a mood of appreciation, gratitude for how this devotee's presence in my life is adding value to my life. I'm going to, it's sort of what, 20 to, when do we have, oh, we're meant to finish. Oh my God. It's a great upper ride. I was going to tell you a story.
Yes.
You can, because after this there was going to be the drama, and then yes, there was going to be kirtan, so it's okay.
Okay. So let me close by telling you a story. It is a story related to getting association. And of course it involves some giving too, obviously, but the main theme is getting. Some of you may be very familiar with it. It is the story of Kalidas from the Anchalila Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he made it his life's mission, his business in life, to every day go out and meet devotees. That's all he did. That was his service. And get either some food remnants or some dust from their feet or some of the water that has washed their feet or any two or all three from these devotees. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says two things. Is that he got these things from every Vaishnav in Bengal. And there was a lot. You know, I would say there was millions. But second thing, and this is really, really just so important. Because he got mercy, and he was just, that was his program, just to get the mercy and blessings from the devotees, he got, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Literally, that's what's said. And of course, there's the six Goswamis, Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and numerous others who were really close to Lord Chaitanya. But Kalidas, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, got the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya because of his dedication to the devotees, getting the mercy from the devotees in a really nice way, loving way. So, you know, we won't go through all the details. The one example of how he did it is given with a devotee named Jadu Thakur. But it all ends up in Jagannath Puri. He visits Jagannath Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would go and have darshan of the deities in the Jagannath temple every day, a few times a day. And at the bottom of the stairs was a ditch. Just a little sort of, you know, a little ditch. Lord Chaitanya would have his feet washed over that ditch. And he gave strict orders to his bodyguard, Kashishvara. Nobody gets that water. And Kashishvara was actually his bodyguard. He was a big, powerful man. And he was watching. And Kalidas, he would come in. He'd just zip in and get some of the water and drink it. And then a second time, and get some water and drink it. And a third time, and get some water and drink it. And a fourth time, but Lord Chaitanya would stop him and tell him, Kalidas, that's enough. That's enough. But Lord Chaitanya was very strict about that water. You may have seen in the slideshow, Maharaj's slideshow, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And it was actually depicting, although Maharaj didn't point it out, it was depicting this pastime. Lord Chaitanya's on the altar. Some devotee is sort of casually pouring some water over his feet, and one other devotee is catching it and drinking it. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Lord Chaitanya caught, I think, the devotee who was drinking and chastised him heavily and threw him out of the temple, and then complained to Swarup Damodar Goswami, you see what your Bengali devotee did? So in other words, Lord Chaitanya was very sensitive about that. But he let Kalidas do this every day, every time, just again and again. And therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Kalidas got the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya and not some of the others who are kind of like big names, the big devotees like the six Goswamis. And when concluding this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, just listen to this, I'll just read the translations of a few of these verses. Taking the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas is so valuable that it induced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to offer Kalidas his supreme mercy. Therefore, giving up hatred and hesitation, try to eat the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas, for you will thus be able to achieve your desired goal of life. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. By rendering service to these three, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again, please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. From these three, one achieves the highest goal of love, of life, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. The evidence is Kalidas himself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Ka Premanandi. More Premanandi.
Jai.
Okay.
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami ki
jai.
We are about to have a small initiation ceremony. Hare Krishna. Oh, Sri Bhakta Alvin from Nassau Street, Temple, London. Although he's actually from Mauritius. And when did we first meet in Mauritius? You were fairly small, as I recall.
2008,
maybe? Maybe, something like that. Anyway, please come closer. Yes. Tell us loud and clear, what are the four regulative principles you're vowing today to follow for the rest of your life?
So, no meat eating, including fish, eggs, and no onion and garlic. No intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Very good. And what's the minimum number of rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra you'll chant every day?
Minimum 16 rounds.
Every day. Very good. Thank you. And please also, in fact, we're meant to actually ask you to vow that you'll never leave Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON.
I vow to never leave Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON.
Oh, thank you. You all heard all these things, right? Okay, you're all witnesses. So we had a little discussion, was it yesterday or the day before? Must have been yesterday.
Day before.
About if there's any particular name he might like. You know, I do this often because I've had experience twice now of giving devotees names, and in the middle of the ceremony there are other devotees there being initiated, and in the middle of the ceremony twice people said, I don't like that name. And we had to quickly rethink things. So now we ask.
Don't like Daff. We don't like being called Daff. Your name, isn't it? Daff.
Okay. See, you're so transcendental. Okay, so therefore I often ask if the devotees have anything in mind. And you know, at least sometimes they do. So Alvin suggested just something from Vrindavan. And I thought, okay. How about, and then I just went and thought myself, maybe something to do with a sacred place in Vrindavan. Maybe that'd be nice. And then I thought, because his name is Alvin, I thought of, and I tried to locate a name beginning with A. And there are a few, but anyway, they weren't ringing the bell so much. So I thought of a name which is very Vrindavan. It's deep Vrindavan. It's very deep Vrindavan. But it begins with a different letter. And it is the name of the place where Krishna played the flute to call the gopis. From today on, you will be known as Vanksi Vat Das.
Vanksi Vat Prabhu Ke!
You're okay with that, right?
Vansi means the flute, and Vat means banyan tree. Krishna was under the Vansi Vat.
I thought you were going to say
Loibasai Vat. No, I decided against that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So everyone, please give Vamsi Vat Prabhu their blessings.
And for Dakshi, so he can give it to his Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
it's actually necessary when you receive initiation to make an offering fairly soon.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
So, just now, perhaps we